So for a long time, I have been, it's been in my heart and in my mind and in my my expectation to develop a resource that will help us as a church family to help people in their discipleship journey. It's not ready yet, but the idea of bringing this before us this morning is to get the ball rolling. In all honesty, this has felt like a bit of a huge boulder to try and get moving. There's been all kinds of reasons, but if we had a big boulder here right now, I would have no chance of beginning to try and move it. But if we all got together and started to move it together, it would get going. And you know what happens when something like that gets going? Momentum builds. And so what I want to share about and what I want to go into now in the coming weeks is to drop us into this discipleship discussions journey. Because what I want to do is create a resource called Discipleship Discussions, which will be resources that will help people follow Jesus. Because that's what we are all called to do. Every one of us is called to help people to follow Jesus. And it's supposed to be done in community. We're supposed to do this together. And so I want to introduce this more fully, this idea and this plan of what it is that we want to do with discipleship discussions. And I want us to go on this journey together. And what's going to happen is this resource is going to be produced over time. So some of it will come soon, and then some of it will be getting developed, and we'll explain more of that as we go. But I'm going to do something really awkward right now, because discipleship is something that we do together. And if we're going to have discipleship discussions, that involves talking. All right? And what I'm going to do now is just for 20 seconds, just 20 seconds, I'm going to ask you to answer this question. Have a little quick chat with the person next to you, somebody nearby to you, and ask them, what does the word disciple mean to you? Let's have a quick discussion. Go on, 20 seconds, just for a short chat. No major pressure. Turn around if you need to. What does the word disciple mean to you? Okay, that's fine. 20 seconds is up. Time's up. Time's up. Reel it in. Come on. Wonderful. That's what we like to see. You can't stop yourselves talking about it now. We put it on the agenda, and now we're talking about it. Come on, two or three people, just shout out something that the word disciple means to you. Just a few words. Learner, great, thank you. Follower? Jesus? Jesus fan. A Jesus fan, woo! I like it. Apprentice, very good. Okay, wonderful. All of those words are great. We could go on shouting out more words. The reason I've done that is because that's kind of what this process is going to be about. Let's sit down together and work these things through and talk about them and find out what it means. Because discipleship is a journey that we do together. The word that is in the Bible that we translate as disciple comes from the Greek word mathetuo. Mathetuo, there you go, which means someone who would be something like an apprentice, gold star for Adore, one who would learn the way of life of their teacher and subsequently go on to teach others in those ways. And Elam Aberystwyth, we want to be disciples of Jesus. We want to be those who follow Christ. We want to be whole life apprentices to him. Being a disciple, a follower of Jesus, being a Christian is not something that we do for an hour and a half on a Sunday morning. This is not something that we do when we come to prayer meetings and connect groups. This is something that we are all called to wherever we are, all day, every day. So wherever you spend your work, your study, your community, your socializing, dare I say it, even when you're playing football, you are a disciple of Jesus. And we want our whole lives to revolve around this, and we want to do this in community. And the people in first century Galilee to whom Jesus introduced this idea of making disciples to, he was explaining to them something that they understood, which was somebody who would be a full-time learner, so gold star again, who closely followed a rabbi. And we all want to follow Jesus closely as our rabbi. But we need each other's help and we need each other's support to do that. We are invited to be full-time disciples of the Jesus way of life. Amen? I want to do that. I don't know about you. As a church, if you look at some of our documentation, you'll see something like this. We exist to love God and to love people. And then we have a mission. And I'm sorry that this is not more technical, that it's not more complicated, that it's not more, you know, I had a blast of vision in the night and this is what I have. Jesus has given us the mission, which is to make disciples of all nations. So our mission is to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to Aberystwyth, Wales and the world, helping and enabling people to follow him. Where does that come from? It comes from Matthew 28, the great commission that Jesus gave his disciples before he ascended into heaven. The words are up on the screen for this few verses. If you want to read along with me, please do. We enjoy speaking the word of God out aloud together as a church. Let's go. The bits and brackets you can ignore. That's just me clarifying. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Lord, help us to understand something fresh and deep about this passage that will instruct the way that we live our lives today. Amen. So Jesus has his band of merry men, this rabble of tax collectors and fishermen and gathered from different walks of life, and some of his other followers are there, and he tells his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations. All nations. The whole world. Go and help people all over the world. What an impossible task. What a seemingly improbable, unreal thing to ask them to do. And yet, here we are in Aberystwyth, nearly 2,000 years later, in an old Sunday school building on the west coast of Wales, following Jesus. Because he gave them that instruction. And he promised to be with them. He told them all authority was his. And he said, "I will be with you." And because of the promise of Jesus and the instruction that he gave, here we are in Aberystwyth in 2026. Carrying on this journey of seeking to help people follow Jesus. This was the master's plan. And as we embark upon a new season and the prospect of being in a new building, it's imperative to keep our eyes on what is the real mission. Because sometimes we can get wrapped up in projects, or we can get wrapped up in new things and buildings and things that we're wanting to do. But the real mission is always going to be helping people to be disciples of Jesus. I remember John Glass, who was one of the former Elim national leaders, wanted his season of leadership of Elim to be marked by this idea of building bigger people. Some of us took it literally and took it the wrong way, and we ate too much and didn't quite apply it in the right way. But he wrote a book about this, and he wanted us to not prioritize building bigger buildings, building bigger reputations for ourselves, building bigger ministries. He wanted us to prioritize helping people to grow in the Lord and become who they're meant to be. And building projects for churches must only ever serve the main project of building the actual church. We, as the people of God through history, have in some ways been perpetuated some unhelpful ways of thinking. You know, if you were to go and visit somewhere on holiday, if you were to go to Europe somewhere, one of the things you might want to do would be to go and visit the church. But is that the church? I try and be very careful when I talk about our building by always saying the church building. When somebody says, shall we meet at Elim? I try and clarify the Elim building. Why? Because the church is not about any walls and bricks and roofs. The church is the people. Church with a capital C is the people of God who have responded to Jesus, who are seeking to follow him across the world. And so, the main mission is always going to be helping people follow Jesus. Amen? Now, if the move to the Moreland Centre were to fall through for any reason, it might be a bit embarrassing, might be a bit awkward, it might be that it just doesn't progress as we want it to if we do move in there and things don't go so well, guess what? It doesn't change the mission. The main thing stays the main thing. So we don't get obsessed with it. We don't get enthralled with the building and all of that. And if the move to the Moreland Centre is a roaring success and it goes really well, the reason will be it's because it's given more people the opportunity to grow as disciples of Jesus. That is going to be the main thing. Our purpose is to love God and love people. And although we do have days sometimes where we say, love the house, and we come and we do work around the building, it's only so that the building can serve the purpose of helping us to love God and love people and enable people to be followers of Jesus. So there are seasons and times to invest time, money in buildings and projects. But if they become our main focus, then we've taken our eyes off the prize, which is why I'm bringing this discipleship topic before us now, because we're about to step into a new season. We're about to step into some projects and some moving forward in some areas, and we need to keep the main thing in focus. Go back to 2 Chronicles in chapter 5, when the temple that Solomon was responsible for drawing together the building of. And when that temple had been complete, it was glorious. It was beautiful. The finest craftsmen in the world had been employed to create things. The finest materials that they could possibly gather had been used to create this. If we were to ever to do a building project, it would not look a patch on Solomon's temple. And yet, that was nothing compared to the glory of God that filled the temple when they dedicated it to the Lord. It says that when the glory of God came into the temple, the priests weren't even able to carry out their duties. The glory of God stopped them doing the things that they did for the glory of God. And we, now, under the new covenant, have become the temple of God. The people, not the building, the people. We are the carriers of that presence which caused the priests to be unable to carry on doing what they were doing, because the Holy Spirit has entrusted himself to us, to live in us, to dwell in us, and to dwell among us. And we long to see God's glory manifest in the way that they did in the temple. It sometimes works differently. But we are the people of God now. And as it says in 1 Peter 2, and verses 4 and 5, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are built together as the temple, as the priests, as those who give glory to the Lord. As I was having the opportunity to spend some time praying this week, I was sat on these rocks, and I was just thinking about the solid ground. These rocks have been put in place to protect a harbor. They've been put in place to be immovable. And the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, the one on whom we can build our lives without fear of the storm washing us away. And if we build our lives on anything other than Jesus, then when the storm comes, if we're not building our lives on his words, then we will be washed away. We'll be unable to stand. And in the Sermon on the Mount, as he's finishing it off, Jesus talks about these, there's this wonderful keynote words that he's brought before the people. And he says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. That's what we want to have as individuals, as a church. We want to have our foundation on the rock. The words of Jesus, the truth that he taught and embodied and lived, the example he set. We want to be apprentices to his way of doing things. Amen. Which brings us to another reflection question. But this time you don't have to talk. I'm just going to let you think about this one for yourselves for a moment. What or who would you say have been the biggest influences, both positive or negative, on your current way of life? Just close your eyes for a moment. Think about your current way of life. Think about your daily practices, the way that you think, the way that you react to situations, what it is that you do with your time. Who or what has shaped that? The probability is that some of those things will be positive. Some of those things won't be positive. Those ways of life, those daily routines. And some of us have allowed the wrong rabbis to shape our thinking, to shape how we respond to certain situations. Some of us have let things dictate our calendars or our thought patterns or our thought lives that are not always the most helpful. Okay, you can open your eyes if they're still closed. Because we want to build our lives and our routines and our practices around the way of Jesus. Just to bring that image back, but highlight this particular first value that we want our church to be known as, or the aspirational thing that we're looking to become, is a people who are Christ-centered. We aim for Aberystwyth Elim to be a community of people being built together as we build our lives around the person, example, and ministry of Jesus Christ. And Jesus modeled community in how he instructed, in how he apprenticed people. He gathered people around him from different walks of life, and they walked closely with him and they learnt from him. And he invested his time in them during his earthly ministry. Now, our context and our culture are very different. We're not used to seeing a group of disciples following a rabbi around the town and teaching on the street corners. But the call and the need and the desire for us to be a community of people who are centered around our rabbi Jesus is just as real and as important as it was for his disciples in those days. We want to build our lives around his words. And that is alongside our unique and individual callings. We are all called. We are all priests in whatever walk of life we find ourselves in. There is no separation of the priests and the laity, as it were. We are all called to be ministers of God in our lives as we walk around, disciples of Jesus. So alongside our unique and individual callings, we are called and instructed to learn from each other and to teach one another and to grow together. During our prayer meeting on Tuesday, somebody had this picture of an advert. They were reminded of an advert that half the room won't remember because it was from 1991. But I remember it. I was very, very young. Very young. Very young indeed. But I remember this advert from 1991. And other building societies are available, but it was for the Halifax, this particular advert. And this was what they felt prompted and reminded of on Tuesday. And in this advert, what happens is that people just keep coming together. And they keep joining in. And they're basically, this house is made up of people. It's people standing shoulder to shoulder and standing on each other's shoulders, and they're able to strengthen and be one as a community. And they had this picture that that's what God is doing with us, that he's building us together as a house to carry his glory and to express his love to Aberystwyth and beyond. And we want to be living stones being built together. But this picture, this house, the start of the advert, there's a structure in place. There's something that they can come and gather around, and a structure they can build around. And sometimes we need those things. I'm a bit of an idealist in aspiration and a realist in walking through life, okay? And in an ideal situation, an idealistic scenario, we wouldn't have to have any tools to help with our discipleship. We wouldn't have to have any programs or courses that we need to go on, because we would just naturally and organically being investing in each other's lives and encouraging one another and teaching and instructing and learning, and it would just all happen naturally and simply and easily. But it just isn't like that, is it? In some ways, we do see this, and to some level we do see this. We see this, many of us in the life of church invest and have invested and do invest and want to invest in the lives of one another. We encourage one another, but it just isn't always that simple. And so what we want to do is help create a tool that will enable us to have something that just equips us to have the discussions that we need to have. So that's what we're hoping to do. Now, what this resource is not going to be is like a step-by-step guidebook so that you can read it and learn and take on the information and academically know what it means to look like a follower of Jesus. It's not going to be an A to Z, like what, this is your next step, this is your next step. It's not quite going to work like that. For some people, it may be employed in that way. But it's going to be a tool for two individuals or very small groups to discuss topics that will help everybody in that discussion to grow and mature and move on as disciples of Jesus. So we might just look at a subject from a certain angle and talk about it and be able to encourage and ask. The key really is going to be about the questions that are asked, not about the content that it contains. It's not about all about information. It's going to be about, how do I apply this? How an apprentice was not somebody who just learnt the teachings. An apprentice was somebody who put things into practice. And that's why we're asking the type of questions, why I've paused to ask the type of questions that we've looked at today, because those are the type of questions we need to ask ourselves. Those are the type of things that we need to respond to. So it will be a tool to help us mature. And we need each other. Community is challenging. Doing anything with other people. I mean, if only everyone else saw the world the way I saw it, right? We all think the same. We all feel the same. If only everybody else was as right as I am about everything, then we all have times where we feel a bit like that. But that's not the truth. We're supposed to do this in community. We learn and we grow from each other, and we see other people's perspectives, and we mature through each other's encouragement. In terms of discipleship, there is always going to be somebody who's, if you want, further along the journey than you in terms of their walk with Jesus. Or that's how you might perceive it. But there's also always going to be somebody who you can help, who may be new to following Jesus, or maybe needs to learn something about a particular subject that you have had some experience in. And we've prompted this kind of question over the years. Who might you encourage? Who could you look at and say, okay, let's go for a walk and a chat. How can I pray for you? So it can be so simple. What is God saying to you at the moment? What issues are you struggling with? How can I pray for you? This is a part of the discipleship journey that we can do together. And there's also always going to be somebody that you can be in cover. Who are you investing in? Who's investing in? Who are you asking to invest in you? Who are you asking to help you grow and learn and go along your journey? And what I want you to know this morning is that you are qualified. Do you have any knowledge of Jesus, any knowledge of what it is to walk with him, you are qualified to encourage somebody else, or to ask somebody else. And I think that one of the things which intimidates us about discipleship is that we think we have to have a certain level of qualification before we are qualified and able to help somebody else. We're trying to aspire to stand. I just don't think that's the case. In fact, although there is definitely a case and a call for those who are mature to help others to mature, and for those of us who want to mature in a certain area to look to somebody to help us to do that, I actually think that perhaps we need to think more about peer-to-peer discipleship again. And what made me think of this? When Jesus ascended into heaven, who did the disciples have to disciple them? Themselves. Their peers. I think that some of our discipleship can happen shoulder to shoulder, alongside those. When I think about my journey of discipleship and growing as a disciple of Jesus, a lot of it has been people who were my friends challenging me, journeying together, battling through the same issues, asking some of the same questions and journeying together. And I think we can do this together. It's not about a hierarchy. Of course, sometimes we need somebody with a level of maturity to invest in us in certain areas and talk about certain issues. But we can look to different people for different parts of our journeys as well. There's always... So I think that this idea of peer-to-peer discipleship is really something that we need to think about as well. And when you're asking somebody, can we meet and have a discipleship discussion, it doesn't always need to be that you're kind of putting them above you and saying, please, can you help me? Or saying, look, you're somebody I think you're not. It's not about positioning yourself. Sometimes it's peer. Sometimes it is asking for a new level of maturity on something. But sometimes it's peer to peer. And we are not looking to make disciples of ourselves. And I think this is sometimes a bit of a misunderstanding in discipleship as well. We're not making... listen, you... Trust me, you don't want to be a disciple of Joel or any other Christian leader or preacher. You can learn things from them. You can, hopefully there's one or two things you can learn from me that will be helpful, and there'll be some things that won't be helpful. But we are in danger when we put somebody on a pedestal, somebody other than Jesus, as the person that we're aspiring to be. We can be inspired by, we can learn. We can take things from people's knowledge and wisdom and experience, but it's Jesus that we are being disciples of. And those first disciples, well, because we might think, well, I'm just going to get this wrong if I try and do it. Like I can't start do it. I can't ask somebody, you know, to do this. Those disciples had walked with Jesus, side by side, shoulder to shoulder. They'd ministered with him. And they got a lot of stuff wrong. When we read through the New Testament, we see ups and downs, challenges, all kinds of things that they went through. And sometimes we lack the confidence to invest in others because we have confused ourselves into thinking we have to be a perfect follower of Jesus before I can help anybody else. Then, my friends, we are all doomed. Because none of us will become the perfect follower of Jesus. And I think there's a passage of scripture which... maybe we've slightly misunderstood, just to be controversial. Paul writes to the Corinthian church and he says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And I think sometimes we look at that and we go, ah, Paul was a perfect example of a follower of Jesus. We should follow Paul. But that's not what Paul is saying. There's a very important word in there. It's a very small word. As. He qualifies the statement by saying, as I follow Christ. The passage is often misunderstood as almost as if Paul was saying he was a good flower of Jesus. Sorry about the spelling mistake. After the 9 a.m. meeting, Louise came up to me and said, I want to be a flower of Jesus. Perhaps we should all be flowers of Jesus. Sometimes we read this and we think Paul is saying that I'm an excellent example of a follower of Jesus. But I don't think, and forgive me if I got this wrong, I don't think that's what he's saying. I think what he's actually saying is, only follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Only when you see in me something that is Christ-like, only when you see an example in my way of responding to a situation which is what Jesus would do, only then follow me. I do think he's encouraging them to allow him to be an example of Jesus into their lives. I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying perhaps we've slightly misunderstood the emphasis here. And so you can say the same to anybody, can't you? As Paul did. Elaine, you could say to me, Joel, follow me as I follow Christ. And if I'm seeing you some way that you're following Christ, then that's something that I want to follow. We are all qualified as we follow Christ to help others to follow Christ. So, Elim Aberystwyth, let us help people follow Jesus. That's what we want the resource to do when it eventually comes around. So this is not a launch of the resource. Sorry to disappoint some. Because it's not, it has been started, but it hasn't been, none of it is yet ready to be utilized. But it's going to consist of short video and or PDF sessions designed to be done together with a discussion about a relevant discipleship topic, as simple as that, over a short few minutes, a video or some content that we can look at. But the key is going to be the questions that we ask each other that will draw out how we can grow and how we can take our next step in whatever the topic is that we're talking about within that discipleship discussion. Does that make some sense? And it will be a working document with each session being created one subject at a time. So we're going to just create one subject and make it available. We'll create the next subject, we'll make it available, and hopefully we'll cover a good breadth of the types of things that we need to be thinking about in order for us to grow as disciples. And the aim will be, and this is the challenge of the resource really, is that wherever you are in your walk with Jesus, you will be able to come away from that discussion with an opportunity to grow in what it looks like to follow him again, to follow him more, to grow in that area that we've discussed. And so it may be even that you revisit a subject in a couple of years and you go through the same thing, but because of you've grown, something has changed in you between then and now, you're looking at it from a more mature angle, from a different perspective, and you grow again in that area. So I think about discipleship. Sometimes we think about discipleship as a linear journey. A, B, C, I'm now doing this, I've now done that, I'm now this. And I think our kind of Western culture likes to think about linear process. Or sometimes we think of it like, it can be thought of as like a cycle, but I think it's both. I think it's a discipleship spiral. Because I think we go round and we grow and we go round and we come to the same subject again, and the next time I need to think about being generous for the Lord, I'm coming at it from a different place. I've grown since last time, and so I'm going to come round again. And I think it's like a discipleship spiral. We come round to issues and subjects and seasons in life, and we grow as we go. So why am I even talking about this resource before it's ready to share? Well, as we move into this season that we're moving into, I want us to make sure that we keep this at the front of our minds, that we keep a culture of discipleship as our focus. I want to encourage that culture. And I even want to say this, you can do this today without this tool. You can go away this morning and make a decision that I'm going to meet with this person who's a peer, or this person who I think I can help grow in an area, or this person who I need to talk to help me grow in an area. We can do this without the tool. Well, let's not say I'm not going to do the tool. We're going to make the tool. It's all going to happen eventually. But we can do this. Just go for a walk. Have a coffee. Discuss an issue. How can I pray for you? What's going on in your life at the moment? What subject are you struggling with? What do you feel God is saying? We can do this. We can start this and build this culture of discipleship today. I mean, we already have some of it. It's not a linear thing. We already have some of it. Well, we can grow this today. So I want to make sure that we visibly prioritize discipleship over projects like buildings and stuff like that. And church, basically, I'm bringing this before you because I need to be accountable. I've been saying I'm going to do this for a while. It needs to happen. I feel the Lord is putting a urgency in my spirit and a conviction in me which says, Joel, this needs to happen. It needs to happen now. So I'm bringing it before you saying, church, can we do this together? Can we get this bolder and can we get the momentum to build it, to start that ball rolling and build this culture of discipleship in Elam Aberystwyth? Amen? One last reflection question. No, I'm not going to make you discuss it. Okay, if you're comfortable to close your eyes, I think that'll be helpful for this one. Imagine a you, you can insert your name there. Imagine, I'm going to put my name in there. Imagine a Joel whose life reflects the ways and teaching of Jesus more closely. Imagine that for a moment. Imagine you, but it's a version of you that follows and looks more like the way of Jesus. Here's the question. What is different about that person than who you are right now? What's changed? What's grown? What has developed? What is different about that person? With that in mind, here's the real question. What one thing are you going to do today? What one thing are you going to change to make that person more of a reality? To grow more towards becoming that person that you are picturing, the you that is more like Jesus, the you that is more like an apprentice of a follower of the way of Jesus. What could you do? What could you change today? Lord, help us to help others to follow you. We want our church family to be living stones built together, growing in the Lord, growing in your ways, becoming more like the people that you call us to be. Help me, Lord, to become more like the person I just imagined, a version of me that follows you more closely, more clearly. I want to commit today to making a choice or a decision that will help me to become that person more. Amen.